Welcome to another Carlo and Lode Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've got our special guest today, Claire Goble.
A very special guest, Claire Goble, who's a fabulous horse trainer and harness racer. And so this is a sport that you probably, I mean, you know a lot about lots of sports, don't you, Rob?
Well, you keep telling me that. I'm going to believe it.
I think it's the other way around, that you tell me a lot about that. But let's hear from Claire.
Well, welcome, Claire.
Thank you, boys.
You've just won some award, the Chairman's Award at the 2016-17 Harness Racing SA Awards. What does that entail? Well, why did you win that?
I think it was more related to resilience. It was about, because our property was burnt out in the Pinery Fire, and I guess I could have given up, but we decided that we slowed down a little bit and picked ourselves up, and then some of the horses that we'd bred ourselves as part of our breeding program had reached the stage of racing, so we decided to continue. And in that year, we had a really successful year with the small team we had. I think we won about over $70,000 in prize money.
Gee.
And not sure how many races, about 20, something like that.
So that's a fantastic achievement. Like 2015 and 2015, those fires were devastating for obviously our community, but you know, you personally affected. So at the time, like if you're happy to talk about it, at the time, you know, how did that really affect you and the horses? And
the biggest problem was, you know, how much the smoke had affected the horses' lungs. We did have a couple of horses that we couldn't race again because their lungs were compromised. Because as you know, if you're an athlete, you have to take in a lot of oxygen. Some of the horses we were lucky to put into an area, and by luck, the fire was going so fast it went around them, and we didn't really have a lot of yards or paddocks left. So lots of people in the community took our horses in. Some people had them for 6 months, and then when we got them back, that's when we had to make the decision, well, do we go on or not? And we decided that, yes, we would, and I guess that's what the award was for.
And how satisfying is it for you in the recovery process with those horses to sort of nurse those horses back to health and get them in condition to perform again? How satisfying was that for you personally?
Oh, it was very satisfying because those horses we'd actually bred, had them from young foals through, had them educated, broken in, and, you know, they were the one, Clarin and Valor, that was quite successful racing as a two-year-old last season. He was only a yearling at the time. The other horse, Clarin and Hustler, he was only a two-year-old. So 2 years later, he's now four and is going through the classes, and Clarin and Valor looks to have a promising three-year-old career. So it is very satisfying.
So where did it all start for you in the beginning? How did you get into the sport?
Well, through default, really, through marriage. And then I was always interested in dressage and showing horses, and I just got into the harness racing through marrying into it, basically. And then, you know, through going our separate ways, I just kept going with it. Went out on my own and got my own trainer's licence and driver's licence.
So how many years have you been training and driving?
Probably getting up to about 25 years for the training. For the driving, I drove for about 8 years. Now I prefer to use catch drivers, meaning that I, you know, pick the successful drivers to drive my horses in races for me, the younger, usually females and males, and because they know the form and they know all the tactics, and they're much more likely to have a better response, you know, to immediate events in a race.
So as a driver, what would you say is your greatest achievement? What do you remember the most or your most favourite?
Probably driving a couple of doubles, one at the Gold Coast on my partner's horses that he had in training up there. I drove a double at Port Pirie, drove a double at Gawler. I trained a horse called Clarendon Esprit that was a very successful racehorse. She won nearly $200,000. I bred her, trained her, owned her. So she went interstate to Sydney, Melbourne, and was very successful. So that's probably my best training achievement, and then I train a lot of trotters. I've had some really nice trotters as opposed to pacers, in particular horses like Sabia, Gamble Dance, One A Queer Street, Emily's Vacation. They've all won numerous races, and we ran Trotter of the Year 3 times in a row with those horses at the awards. So
now, you mentioned Gawler. I mean, obviously Gawler's been closed for a number of years now, but what was the Gawler track like, to give sort of the listeners a bit of an idea that haven't been to that particular track, compared to, say, Globe Derby?
Gawler was a great track, great community, community feeling about it. All the locals used to go. It was a devastating loss when the freeway went through and it had to go. But there is a really strong community spirit rebuilding the track. We've got a really good training track there that I would say is actually better than Globe Derby's track. They're putting the infrastructure in with the hope to race, and we're trialling every Sunday week now. So I'm hoping that one day we'll race there.
Of course, Gawler's got a bit of a reputation for the trot. So it used to be down at Williston and then Gawler Oval. And it's a very horsey community with the horse racing as well down at in Gawler. So it would be good if we can sort of get the trots.
Yeah, well, I believe Gawler per capita is the highest horse population in South Australia.
I have read that myself. Mm. I thought when I first moved out to Gawler, not being around horses, but I remember reading that and it said, yeah, I was surprised. But then you think about the surrounding area and there are a lot of properties that have
and,
horses.
And it's not just the actual racing, it's all the jobs that it creates. Like if you think about it, we've got 2 feed stores in the town, we've got a saddlery shop. It creates jobs, and then we've got the farriers and the vets, and we've got Roseworthy out there, local vet Toby Ryan, Elizabeth Herbert at Adelaide Plains. It creates a lot of employment. So it's not just racing to win money, it actually is a community.
Of course, the Gawler 3 Day started up here in about 1959 and went right through to the 90s when it then transferred to Adelaide.
Mm.
That was huge.
It was huge. And it brought people into the town, brought wealth into the town.
And as you said you were involved in equestrian a little bit yourself. And I've noticed there's a real crossover between the 3 Day events and the trots and the horse racing. Seems to be similar type people form the whole community.
It is. It's one of those areas where people get a passion, and often that passion generates from when you're very young. And there's also the family link where the passion continues. You just have to think about the Hill family, Daniel Hill, who's one of our top drivers. Wayne Hill's one of our top drivers. They're local. They went to Trinity College. Greg Sugars, who moved into state, went to Trinity College. But all of those people know each other, and you'll find that a lot of the harness racing families and the racing families, like the Ewans, they have thoroughbred racing as well as harness racing. So a lot of it does cross over, you're right.
We've had chats over the years about training, and so I'd be interested in giving us some feedback on, like, you know, how you go about training the horses and the different types of methods that you use and how they might have changed, or how you've changed your approach over the years. Because that, for me, is fascinating when you compare it to human athletes versus and the equestrian athletes.
Well, it's changed immensely. And one of the reasons it's changed is because of natural evolution with breeding improvement. So the horses now are better gaited. They've got better cardiovascular capacity, more speed, endurance, but they don't need to be trained as hard. So in the old days, they went slower and they trained them harder and longer. Nowadays, there's more speed and they seem to need less actual fast work training and more conditioning. So it's really interesting how methods have changed. Back probably 10 years ago, we were doing a lot of heat work. Nowadays, it's more pace work and strength because the horses have got the natural ability to run the speed. If you overwork them, they become overtrained and then they don't perform as well. So it's really interesting.
It's interesting because in the thing about the human sort of area of training, there's a lot of push now about speed. And they say, well, in the good old days, you know, pre-season for football, those would be a lot of long, slow endurance training. And now, of course, they're saying, well, these guys actually have to be moving fast all the time. And we have to train them that way.
Yeah, so
no good, because they've got great sprints. Yeah, they've got great aerobic capacity. So we don't need to improve that. We need to actually improve their ability to run fast and then repeat that.
It's very similar. And the horses now are bred, they're much more refined. We're bringing in horse semen because in harness racing they use artificial insemination. And we've, you know, refining the breed by bringing in frozen semen from France and Sweden and the US, and then we've got the shuttle stallions that come over and they'll spend 6 months in the northern hemisphere, 6 months in the southern. So Australia is actually catching up to Europe and the US in terms of the quality of horses that we're breeding, and in turn we're getting faster speeds and probably better quality horses.
Now, just a typical day, how many hours do you spend with the horses?
Oh, I think you'd be a bit shocked. In the mornings, probably 2 to 3 hours before I come to work. When I get home, typically 3 to 4 hours. So it's almost like another full-time job. I'm lucky enough that my partner's at home, so he'll do all of the feeding, and because we feed 5 times a day. And so he'll do the feeding in the morning and the breeding stock. But, like, for example, Saturday night, the vet was there at midnight, breeding, you know, actually breeding a mare. And then Friday I went down to the airport and, you know, just picked up a pack of breeding semen ready for a mare. So it's very full on.
So for you it would be more a passion, a hobby rather than a job?
Yeah, I'd call it a passion. But, I mean, we're all hobbyists in South Australia because we can't actually survive just on harness racing. But if you do win races, you know, I guess that helps to pay for this passion, which is...
Claire, this has been a fascinating interview, and really thank you for your time and congratulations on your award. I know the last 2 years have been extremely tough. And, like, talking to you today, you can see that passion, and, like, you just, we know that you're obviously a very hardworking and tough but caring woman. And so we thank you for your time today and wish you luck in the future.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
No problems. This finishes another Carlin Load Sports Show.